Zambia records a 17.78 surge in, I beg your pardon, Zambia records 17.78% surge in copper production in second quarter of 2025. ATI Coalition concerned over delayed operationalization of ATI Act. And in global news, Zelensky meets Starmer at Downing Street in show of unity ahead of U.S.-Russia summit. With the main news at 13 on Phoenix, I am Paddy Muzando. Mines and Minerals Development Minister Paul Kabuswe has disclosed that copper production in the second quarter of this year increased by 17.78% from 373,000 to 263.9 metric tons during the same period last year to 439,000 to 644.29 metric tons. And Mr. Kabuswe says government has so far purchased 13.9 kilograms of gold as of June 2025. Addressing the media in Lusaka this morning at the second quarter 2025 performance of the mining sector, Mr. Kabuswe has attributed the increase in copper production to the good policies in the sector implemented by President Hakainde Hichilema. He has singled out Konkola Copper Mine, KCM, Kansanshi, and Mopani Copper Mine as having contributed significantly to the 17.78% overall increase in copper production. The minister has explained that copper production at KCM increased from 808 metric tons to 35,000 metric tons, representing over 3,000%, while Mopani's copper production increased to 27,500 metric tons in 2025 from 17,000 metric tons in 2024. Meanwhile, Mr. Kabuswe also announced that the Minerals Regulation Commission is now in force following a statutory instrument issued on the 13th of June 2025, operationalized its establishment.
In the second quarter of this year, total production stood at 439,644 metric tons compared to 373,263.9 metric tons production during the same period in 2024, meaning by this second quarter we have increased production of copper by 17.78%, basically 18%. Of this figure, 39,477, which is about 9% of the total production in the first half, came from small-scale and artisanal miners.
The Access to Information ATI Coalition has expressed concern over government's continued delay in issuing the statutory instrument SI required to fully operationalize the Access to Information Act No. 24 of 2023. Addressing the media in Lusaka this morning, ATI Coalition Chairperson Father Daniel Mutale has warned that without the SI, which gives legal effect to the Act's regulations and rules, the law cannot be fully implemented, jeopardizing the public's constitutional right to access information. In a speech read for him by Coalition Vice Chairperson Ges Nirenda, Father Mutale has noted that the compliance window for the information holders is set to close on the 21st of December 2025. Hence, any further delays in gazetting the SI would threaten not only the roadmap for implementation, but also Zambia's democratic commitments. He has called on the Human Rights Commission, designated as the oversight body under the Act, to expedite the issuance of implementation guidelines for public bodies and institutions to adhere to their obligations under the new law. Father Mutale has also reminded all public institutions and private entities performing public functions that even in the absence of the SI, the Act imposes on them a legal obligation to proactively disclose information.
We therefore urge the government of the Republic of Zambia to expedite the issuance and the gazetting of the SI to ensure that the legal framework for implementation is completed well within the statutory time frame. Further, we as a coalition also remind all government institutions and private entities performing public functions that even in the absence of the SI, the Access to Information Act places on them a legal obligation to proactively disclose information.
The Center for Trade Policy and Development, CTPD, has underscored the need for collaborative effort in the fight against the rise in tobacco consumption and substance abuse in Zambia and across Southern Africa. CTPD Board Chairperson Wamunyima Muketoi, however, highlights that tobacco taxation remains one of the most effective tools proven to cut consumption and raise revenue, noting that a 10% price increase can reduce smoking by up to 8% in low and middle income countries. Speaking at the Southern African Conference on Tobacco Taxation in Lusaka this morning, Mr. Muketoi has noted with concern that Zambia has seen a rise in smokers from 1.2 million in 2015 to a projected 1.5 million this year.
Zambia is seeing a rise in non-communicable diseases, primarily driven by unhealthy behavior. It has been estimated that tobacco use alone costs the Zambian economy 2.8 billion kwacha annually due to the resulting health costs and productivity loss. It is therefore essential that the taxes of these NCDs, predisposing products, be increased to support the much-needed health financing.
Meanwhile, Zambia Revenue Authorities ZRA Director Taxpayer Services and Education, Miriam Sabi, in a speech read for her by Assistant Director Mukuka Mulenga, emphasized the importance of thorough consultations in effective policy formulation.
I'm particularly encouraged by the planned launch of the Tobacco Excise Taxation Simulation Model, KETSIM, during this particular conference. This important tool will help us predict both the health and revenue impact of different tax policies, ensuring that our decisions are guided by solid data and evidence.
The Consortium of Civil Society Organizations on Governance has expressed disappointment with the discontinuation of the petition before the Constitutional Court regarding the process on how amendments to the Constitution must be initiated due to allegations of hostility by one of its own judges and perceived bias by the court. Deputy Consortium Chairperson and IPAC Executive Director Solomon Ngoma says having reviewed the affidavit filed by the petitioner, Isaac Mwanza, containing his reasons for applying for discontinuing the matter, it is evident that the events that unfolded in chambers made it impossible for him to receive a fair hearing. Mr. Ngoma says threatening or intimidating a litigant is unacceptable for any judicial officer and erodes public trust in the judicial system, and is therefore urging all judges to uphold the highest standards of judicial conduct befitting their office. He states that the decision to discontinue the case means that unclear matters on the amendment processes, especially for citizens and organizations who wish to propose amendments to the Constitution, will now remain unanswered. Mr. Ngoma adds that by avoiding a determination, the court missed an opportunity to provide the much-needed clarity and reaffirm the principles of constitutionalism and the rule of law in Zambia.
The Constitution under Article 1, Clause 3 is very clear that no arm of government, including the judiciary, stands above it. The courts must not only ensure their decisions align with the Constitution, but also welcome legitimate constitutional challenges as a vital part of our democracy. We recall that the Constitutional Court has in the recent past demonstrated the capacity to correct itself, as in the case of late former President Edgar Tagwalungu's eligibility case to recontest elections. That presidency must remain the standard for all proceedings. We believe that through that citizens should be welcome to challenge unconstitutional decisions by any organ or institution of government in the defense of our constitution. In light of this case, we urge all judges to uphold the highest standards of conduct befitting their office. Threatening or intimidating litigant is unacceptable for any judicial officer and erodes public trust in the judicial system.
In global news, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has arrived at Downing Street to meet UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer. Ahead of tomorrow's summit between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, Starmer says there is a viable chance of a ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine. This morning's meeting at number 10 is a carefully coordinated show of support from the UK. For this and other global stories, we monitored the BBC.
Ukraine's President Zelensky is meeting the British